So much for that vacation.
That was a short-lived break from Game of Bones.
Well, guys, sometimes the content demands that we drop to our knees and pay homage, or I think in this case it's just homage, to the gods.
All of them at once. All seven plus whichever deities that you or the people inside of this story that we all love so much desire to pray to or something like that. This is our one episode this week because something magical happened on Sunday night, didn't it not, Eric?
It was. And, you know, for something that was called a foreshadowing, I would have to say, after having seen this video, that they really seem to have adequately named it. I think that really I was worried about spoilers. I was worried about a ton of stuff from the upcoming season and, you know, masquerading as sort of a documentary that's only supposed to be a light tap. But really, I feel like they held back a little bit in terms of showing us stuff and instead focus on telling us stuff.
Yeah, there was a few hints of actual plot lines. You know, I think that like when Daenerys was talking about troubles with her ruling and stuff, that's not something I necessarily would have guessed. But at the end of the day, it's something that we said would happen. We're like, this is just the natural progression of things. You take over a city, you don't have a plan, some bad things are happening. You have to have some managerial skills moving forward.
That was my favorite part of this doco, because I was like, yep, we talked about that on Game of Thrones. We were like, didn't we? I mean, at least two episodes during the show, we were talking about Daenerys and how she has no plan and just continues to cause a ruckus and free slaves and stuff. And it's really noble and great and grand, but you know, it's also destroying their socioeconomic like system of actually surviving. So very interesting that was one of the very few things that we learned is going to be an issue actually for Dany. And Emilia Clarke actually was talking about that a little bit.
We're just really excited, obviously. We made this special episode because it happened, because a lot of you guys were kind of like rooting for it to happen. So we're meeting on an evening, and I just think the excitement level moving into season four is so much more heightened because they took the time to do this feature and so strategically placed, dude, in front of the best True Detective episode. The best, one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen. Oh, dude, it was so good.
Oh, no way.
The last 6 minutes of the entire episode was a complete one shot on a Steadicam. And it was just, I mean, I can't even tell you, like, you're going to have to watch it, not to break
from goo. I am a fan of the long take. Everyone knows this.
I was super, like, the staging and the timing they did with everything, it was beautiful and awesome. But like I said, I feel like it was strategically placed, this featurette, because so many people tuned in for this. I mean, I even sat in front of actual old school television, you know, to watch this. I didn't wait for it to go up on HBO Go. And I did wait to watch True Detective on HBO Go, so it didn't really work, but you get what I'm saying. I was going to watch it anyway.
Yeah, no, you have to admire the Game of Thrones team for even creating something that I think really hits a lot of points and is for everybody. You know, it's for people who don't want to be spoiled. It's for people who do want a little bit of like a, you know, like a handful to take away of, you know, some cookies or something. But really, it doesn't spoil anything. And at the same time, it really features what I didn't expect was it features all these interviews from the cast. And again, questions that were crowdsourced or sourced from fans and viewers on Twitter, and actually has the cast responding to them. And it's not just a couple. It's not just a 50th anniversary Beatles will play one song and get the hell out of here.
Right.
You know, this was utterly, at least I would say 8 to 10 of the minutes were devoted to actual showrunners and actual actors and actresses talking about and answering specific questions.
Yeah, it was cool. And I thought the title was nice because so much we've seen Game of Thrones be branded over the top of George's series, which is actually called A Song of Ice and Fire.
Right.
And, you know, titling it Ice and Fire, A Foreshadowing, I thought was a really nice little nudge because that's what this was. This was so much about what has happened. And the way they reached that conclusion with all their discussions was by utilizing those fan questions. And it kind of allowed the cast and crew to reflect on certain things. Like when they were asking about, you know, the saddest death, you know, there was a point where someone was talking about Ned's death. And, you know, so it was a good way to kind of get the full scale and catch up without details on what sort of has been going on and establish the mood moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I really liked that question. And I just have to say, though, and some of us or some of our listeners have already submitted their owns for this for this clip, right. Which is great because honestly, the fact that we didn't have to prompt you. Oh wait, we did.
Yeah, we did. You've had a busy day, sir.
Well. You know, you have had a busy day, Zach. But you know, okay. Well, we did get some owns, but and I'll steal. I won't be stealing ahead with two E's, but I will steal STEAL. One of them right now because let me actually find out who said it. Ariadna Quijano.
Ariadna Quijano.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves there. says Gwendolyn Christie, and I must agree, glorious Brienne, laughing her butt off at having bitten a man's ear off and spat it in his face. That was amazing. I completely agree. Mm-hmm. Gwendolyn Christie was having at least five times more fun than everybody else. And still, everybody looked like they were having a great time. But man, can she laugh. And it's infectious. I was laughing. I was like, oh, she's laughing. She bit his ear off and spit it in his face. Ha ha. It happens.
It does. Why don't we go through some of these? We're all excited. And we kind of, you know, you guys watched it. You're listening to this. I'm going to read just off the top of our Facebook post here. Jennifer Christian says, I rewound the video. That's a little old school terminology for you kids listening. I rewound the video about three times. I haven't seen that word typed ever. Just want to let you know that. Three times. Yeah, I haven't. To see him in all of his glory. And she's talking, obviously, about Drogon, which is the very last shot before the credits. The Mother of Dragons has some big babies now. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I see in this screenshot, I don't remember this scene from this. This is going to be a repeat of the whole, I didn't really see that.
It was the last shot, yeah.
Yeah. But just looking, and that is some creative capping, whoever got that. But it looks like he's impaling some dude with his tail. And even if not, he's hovering above him about to roast him. And even if not, the dragon's like five times the size, greater.
Yeah.
At least 10 times
exponentially
the size of a single man. And dig the color palette, really.
There's definitely some growth on that dragon. Oz Morlow on our Facebook says, great clip. Goat is like, you're on your own. See that goat in the foreground of the shot sprinting away? That was a goat running in the shot. Yeah, you have to go back and watch it. A goat was running away.
Yes. Oh, no.
Yeah, very, very
That's
cool.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And you talked about the dragons, and that is another one of those things that Amelia is talking about is the possibility that, and something that I guess they always knew, or Daenerys, she sees Daenerys as having always known that the dragons will one day grow big enough to overtake her, you know, and it's not something that she can necessarily contain. It's a force of nature. And, you know, I personally think that they're drawing too much like drama there, like, cause she's their mom. And I really think that it's an important story that she can control them. I think that's the way that I just feel it. But if they do become unruly, and everybody has that awkward teenager phase, right? Pimples on my face. I don't want to be seen.
Is that
don't
a goat?
Take me out. You know, any number of other adolescent arguments that you and a mother would get into. But you know, barring any of that, I think that we are forced with the idea that there are these forces at play that people can't control. And so it's an allegory to the greater issues, just like what's happening at the wall with the White Walkers and all that stuff.
Right. I think they paced it perfectly, though, in the video to show this little shot, because I think at the very end they were like, this is a big series. All this stuff's happening. It's like, yes, that's true. You know, they were so excitedly saying, and everyone was saying excitedly that, you know, clearly episode 9 has been the big episode up until now, but they're happy to report that season 4 is going to have a very steady pace of oh shit moments.
It's like, okay, I'm happy to receive that report.
Right, which is exciting, and I'm kind of not really glad. I'm sort of not glad. I'm sort of glad
oh,
that Mike
really?
Is not here. That Mike
we're
is not here.
For another huge 9, right?
Well, the thing is, if he was here, he could tell us things like, oh, yeah, Danny, I mean, that's not a big deal. She takes care of her dragons. or yeah, you know, it's just, but I mean, we've truly right now, and a lot of you guys listening have read, and a lot of you guys haven't read. So I think half of you are with us on this, and the other half are just laughing, you've got the Gwendolyn Christie, like, cackle going on right now, because we're just like, what happens to these dragons?
You know, just going back to Facebook here, Kim Gabrielson says, my favorite OMG moment was definitely the Oberyn playing with fire. I am finally confident he will be the most awesome character in the season, and that's saying a lot. So going off what you were saying here about and what they said about many awesome little moments, you know, that was another one of those very few storylines that we actually got some information on. Who is this character, or rather, what is he doing at King's Landing? And we find out that he essentially uses the invitation to Marguerite and Joffrey's wedding to show up, and then he kind of plants himself in and starts causing some trouble. And I thought that was very interesting. It was obviously not the full story, but right. I thought it was interesting enough to now I'm finally intrigued, because before I was like, we pay our debts too, was his big line from the trailer. And I'm like, so what? Okay. But now I kind of like the guy, and just knowing that he's called the Red Viper really was enough to pique my interest. But now that we've seen the actor talk about the character, and a little bit of backstory was all I needed to, now I'm on board. So
we know a tad bit about his past and his problems with people that work with and for the Lannisters. So I think that it was cleverly written by George to have this excuse to input himself into the King's Landing situation.
Yeah.
I really like the commercialism that they're approaching the season and the show with, because they didn't have to make this, you know, they didn't have to spice it up like this. And I was wondering, like, how many of these good ideas do they have in their back pocket, or do they sort of lead into the each season, you know, like, we're going to put all that we have in, all bets on the table, all of these good ideas, you know, and like even the title, I feel like Ice and Fire foreshadowing. I mean, they could have used that between season 4 and 5, and maybe there'd have been more happening then. It would have been more appropriate, you know,
maybe. But
I feel like they're putting all in on each season because they really feel so strongly about each one, and they know that it's going to be a big deal. And they're sort of like, all right, clean slate over the summer, and when we restart filming, we'll start thinking of all those good ideas again. You know, like, we'll think of even better ones for the next season.
Yeah, maybe. And that's the coolest thing, I think, was when they were talking about going forward from the Red Wedding. How do you move on?
Right.
And really, remember that this was very different, but I have to compare it to the quote from last year, which going into season 3, they were like, this is the season. This is where it's leading to. And I know Micah and Selena both got scared about that, because they really felt that some of the later books had good stuff, all this stuff. But really, season 4 appears to be the season.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's exactly
nobody
what I mean.
Said that season 3 was boring. Nobody said that because, like previous seasons, it led up to episode 9, all the other episodes were boring.
Right.
Nobody is saying that. But by saying that there are a lot of little moments, or a lot of big moments spread out through this series, it really does seem to be, and I think somebody does say, on a per episode basis, there is more fighting. There is more struggle.
Right.
And actually, what Maisie said that intrigued me was that the good guys are finally in a position, or positioning themselves, to fight back.
Which will be nice to see.
Yeah, I was blown away, because I'm trying to count, I think you can do it on one hand, how many good guys there are left.
I mean, if you've got a hand left, that is.
If you have a hand, yes.
It was impactful to me when it started out, because I think from the trailer, over the past month or so, we've deduced that Tyrion is in some kind of trouble. And so Eric and I especially are just kind of like out of sorts in all this. We're like, okay, we can have our own ideas and our own theories when it comes to what exactly could happen. But at the end of the day, this featurette shows Peter Dinklage, you know, talking about Tyrion, about how this is like such a dangerous season for him, and that he's being faced with all this public humiliation that he can't talk himself out of this time. And I can't think of a single reason, you know, I have no idea.
I was gonna ask you.
Yeah,
I was gonna ask you.
All I know is that Oberyn Martell kissed Shay, and that was in the featurette. And I don't think that has anything to do with it, but it could.
He totally,
you know,
kissed Shay right in front of Tyrion, and she looked like she didn't necessarily hate it all that much.
I mean, whatever. I mean,
wants to get back at him for Sansa. That's the thing. She's so vindictive, and it's probably against the character in the books. But Tyrion and that whole thing, look, I'm about to do the rewatch, you know, leading into the season, so that we can, you know, so that I can be on par as, like, caught up with everything that happened. But I do not remember Tyrion having this huge falling out with his family that would cause him to be always wonder, like, an inch from death.
And he's finally with Jaime now, which was cool that we got to see a little on-screen stuff.
Okay, that made it for me. I'm still not sure about Jaime's hair. Okay, why?
Oh, come on. It's a haircut. No. Who cares?
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. No, it's too short. It's too modern, I think, but if he was sitting in his own crap for months and months and months, I'm sure I would cut all my hair off too. But still, I'm not okay with it. I think they maybe should have, I don't know, moved time forward 3 months so it could grow long again. something like that.
The time
but
machine.
Just seeing him and Tyrion together, and I remember maybe they had a scene or two in the past, but because we're more familiar with the characters now that they're in the books, you know, now that we're in the books, I should say, now that we're more familiar with the characters, and I think Nikolai had a very strong season last season, despite the fact that he was not in a position of power. Now that he has that back, I mean, the queen is there, he is there, the lovers are reunited, and then there's the little imp brother who has always gotten along. And I think it's implied in this video, too, that Jaime continues to protect Tyrion in a way from his sister. And so I really, for how little time I spend being interested in the Lannister subplot, I think it's going to increase this year. And I've always liked Tyrion. But, like, Tyrion and his sister, it's funny as hell, but I don't necessarily, that's not what I go to see it for. But Jaime and Tyrion, I'll go see the show for.
I'll buy tickets to that is what you're saying, right?
What I'm saying is...
You got to see Jaime fighting, I think it was Bronn. I think we'll go ahead and just assume that it was Bronn, one-handed in a sword battle, which would attest to your theory that Jaime gets back on the horse, so to speak.
Yeah, somebody's like, yeah, Bronn has the best lines.
I think he meant to say owns, though, that he has the most badass quotes.
Yeah.
They forgot to say owns, people listening.
They forgot to say owns. Hey, we're working on it with...
Yeah, we're working on it.
Our agents and their agents, and pretty soon you're just going to see owns everywhere officially. But, going back to the questions and some of the audience, participation moments, asking people, like you said, who was the saddest death, as well as what was it the Hound said about Joffrey?
Something about him being someone quoted on Facebook. Here, let me read it. This is off of our Facebook. Samantha Jones wrote, "The Hound owned by saying Joffrey? Joffrey's a wee prick." He has nice eyes, though.
Well, for the first time, I've always felt kind of bad for Jack Gleason. But he's kind of opened up, I mean, at least in this video, and been like, okay, it's fun to get that reaction out of people.
It was cleverly edited, I think.
I hope that he can live it down, you know, one day, and maybe get other roles that he is a dramatic lead in that everybody loves. But for now, you know, and for the foreseeable future, at least he seems to have come to terms with the fact that his character is the way that Joffrey is.
Before we go too far, can we talk about the fact that Sam was almost ran over by a quad bike, aka a four-wheeler, if you're from where I'm from?
That was great.
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful.
And that's the backstory, obviously. Who knows what they chased him with this season?
A three-wheeler. Very dangerous. If you turn too sharp, you may flip.
And this clip also did a very good job of showing some of the harshness of the areas where they film. And, you know, just to be on a set that looks like... the keep.
Talking about Castle Black?
The men's watch. Castle Black. Just a set that looks like Castle Black. And they panned back and showed the whole thing. And I'm like, wow. But being chased by a quad bike, you know, and they are in freezing cold temperatures. And I forget what else happened in this video, but it really does remind you that these are professional actors. But they probably go through a lot to actually put on screen what we see. On screen or something close to it. And so to get the real effect just reminds me of like what Kubrick did to scare the hell out of the woman from The Shining and other stuff that directors do to get a performance. But it works. It's art, and they're creating art. And really, I also felt bad because even the character of Sam, at least going into season four, is, what do you say, arguing more with Jon Snow.
I think that'll be interesting, though.
I hope so. He said they're more like equals, and I guess that's because Sam has the weapon to kill them.
Well, that, and he's kind of had his own journey, and he's been with his own girl. I think he's growing up a lot, being able to speak to girls. I know that sounds really shallow and weird, but I think he needed that time off to himself and a new friend. You know what I mean?
I think that's fair. There's a certain confidence that only a woman's love or a woman's touch can bestow on a man. I think it's fair to say.
I suppose it is fair to say. I think that's a fair assumption.
It's an opinion anyway.
No. I mean, it's a fair assumption. I do want to comment, though, that Castle Black seems so much more grand than in the first season, because obviously there's more money and obviously there's more people watching. So
I didn't think about there being more money. Yeah,
the pressure's there, but it was definitely more elaborate. And I just think that we're going to see a new polish, just like we saw in season three being above the last season. And I think even the next season following this will be even more grand. So there's really a lot to look forward to. I think if the shots that we got to see of the royal wedding are any like litmus to what is coming forward, I think it's going to be awesome. Wedding. Yeah, that was
they showed like the extras moving and talking and blowing fire, like, but it wasn't a clip from the show. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they're just having a good time.
Yeah, it was just a party that was happening at this. And, you know, Joffrey looked good. Marguerite looked good. The wedding is just whenever it happens. We don't know what episode it's in, but it won't be 9 because you can't do a wedding in episode 9. You just can't. It's a rule on TV now. No episode 9s are ever allowed to have weddings in them. Everything looked, and I think it was right for Jack, who I believe is talking at the moment, to talk about how Joffrey really wants that pristine look. And it is the best artisans of the age are, you know, his to command, but still they really do pull it off. And to think about real artisans in the real world who had to make that for the film, it makes me wish I had a lot of money.
Well, I mean, there is that. I can say though, dude, if you're ever hanging around on a set for too long, you got to do stuff like fire breathing and massaging other people's shoulders and dancing down staircases just to stay sane. Sometimes you really, really do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Tyrion and, Jamie's dance. That reminds me, we did get just a bunch of tweets over on Twitter. I know we read some from our Facebook, but I should love to continue the onage and continue hearing from our listeners and viewers of the show who were kind enough to write into us.
All right, well, why don't we just do this? Let's crack into some old school Game of Owns action, and Eric can read the tweets in 1 minute, 45 seconds, or less. Go.
Emily Carter says, OMG, how huge are the dragons? They are going to fucking own. This season is going to be awesome. Miss Lane, at the Left Lane on Twitter, says, the own obviously goes to the goat getting the hell out of Drogon's way. Too bad he left Aberforth behind.
Yes!
Oh, no.
He'll make it out.
Scott Glennon says the own goes to Dan and Dave. That was just wicked. Agreed.
Very.
And it's nice that they're still appearing in these interviews because I do want to hear from them. Remember, they are the two men foremost behind this adaptation, as we know it. Steffers at Beyond the Veil. I love Steffers as like a nickname. That's cute.
That's a good one.
My own for Game of Thrones regarding the Game of Thrones foreshadowing was how fucking big Drogon was. And then I love how the F word is associated with this dragon, like, fucking big. It's
you
the best adjective for a dragon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Annette at Time Travel Wife on Twitter says, my own goes to Nikolai and Peter for their cute little dance number. All right. She doesn't need to see the full version. She's just pleased with what we got. Pisnelki, D. Pisnelki in German on Twitter, says, my own goes to Red Viper. He's one hell of a sexy slut.
I don't know
if the content backs that up, but
why the hell not?
Yeah, why the hell not? Interesting question from the Fire of Belden.
Why don't you try to read his username?
Yeah, fuck that. Lowercase x, capital X, open parentheses, capital S1, /\\ /30, wall, /wall, close parentheses, capital X, lowercase x.
There you go.
At the Fire of Belden on Twitter says, why are all the weirwood tree faces at ground level and not way up the trunk if they were carved ages ago?
What?
I'm blown away. Do you get this?
I mean, maybe the children of the forest were small. I don't know.
Maybe the children of the forest were really tiny.
Read the next own. Fire Belden, thank you for that.
Yeah, look, trees go taller, but they also grow wider. So if that particular species of tree was focused more with growing wider than taller, then you would have the situation where the face is still pretty low to the ground.
Let's talk about flora and fauna, okay? In this case, flora specifically. We're talking about the canopy of the tree extending all the way down to the ground.
Agreed. Wrapping up this segment, there are still about 20 more tweets to get to. Okay, the Lady Ash says, Jamie and Brienne shots gave me the feels. Also, they both clean up pretty well. Oh yeah, Brienne gets her own armor, doesn't she?
She does.
Also from Pisnelki, or D. Pisnelki. Pisnelki, I feel like I should have taken German just so I can pronounce it. The Red Viper owned the foreshadowing special. He's one hell of a sexy slut. Why did that come up twice? Why did that come up twice? Vlad Tudor, just in case we missed it the first time. Red Viper, sexy slut. Got it. Vlad Tudor says, my own goes to Drogon for leaving me open mouth and then fangirling for 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Megan Webster says, Gwendolyn Christie for hysterically laughing. The Lady Ash says, the royal wedding looks insane. As does Marguerite's hair. What is she packing in there?
The sink. Of course.
I think we'll ask for what the audience thought she was packing in there during the episode.
That's a good
whenever
idea.
That happens to air.
We'll put that in our pocket, save it for later.
And wrapping up the tweets here, Kevin Bloomfield says, "My own goes to the feature itself for saying a lot and giving tons of info without spoiling anything or unsullied." Meta. Ida Askoff also adds, "My own goes to Maisie Williams because her favorite character is Cersei Lannister, like me. She has redeeming qualities, okay?"
Okay.
Question mark. Here's another dragon versus fuck. Steffers, again, says, "My own is definitely Drogon being so fucking big." And then she says, "There be dragons afoot, y'all."
She did it again.
Uckin says, "Hodor."
That's a good one.
It's kind of poetic. If you think about it.
In a way.
And we heard a few from Ed at Smiley Man Comics on Twitter. He says, "My own goes to the unsung, all the folks in the credits who went unnoticed as we marinated in our seats after Drogon's roar." Okay, that's fair. Rubrius Gallus, who, let's face it, I'm going to need a minute after I read anything from this guy. Rubrius Gallus. Own. Finally, Martells, the greatest house in Westeros, at long last enters the picture. Vengeance for Elia. Poor Elia Martell. We'll play a song for you.
There are way too many tweets and owns to read. We just tried to fit them into an Eric Reads a Tweet segment, which is now over. Oh, yeah. There's so many, and we'll get to them probably as we record more in the future. And this is going to be the last episode this week because Mike is off traveling. As you guys all know, he's working the All-Star Game down in Nolens. But there are more chances in the future. We've been taking into account so many of the things that you guys have been writing in regarding our content and this gap session. I really don't know what to call it still. Neither of us know what to call it. So please keep those flowing. Refer to our previous episode for more information on that. And I just feel like, Eric, now there's just so much more to do and to talk about that we've had this featurette.
That's true. I agree completely. And it really succeeded in an area that I didn't think was possible in making me want season 4 even more without feeling like I know everything that's going to happen. So that's really nice.
Yeah.
I know next to nothing. Somehow Theon will rise and get out of his cage. That's all I know.
Well, I think that you can hold that close to your heart, Eric, and moving forward and use that warmth to guide you through this cold and long winter.
Hey, it'll be spring by the time the show's back.
Eric, let's not let spring come around before you tell the fine folks listening at home how to get in touch with
us.
On
Twitter, we are located at twitter.com/GameOfOwns. Just perform a perform button. Click a button that says compose your tweet. Perform a new tweet in our general direction. By hitting at and then Game of Owns on Twitter. On Facebook, you can scroll upon our wall or respond to our Facebook posts in kind by going to facebook.com/GameOfOwns. And if you wish to email us, you can do so at contact@GameOfOwns.com.
Our show lives, breathes, thrives, and dies on winterscoming.net. That's the community that most of you guys are from and have found our show from. So we welcome you into our open arms in the beautiful, glorious comment section to speak words with us and to carve this future that is our show, that show, and the wonderful, wonderful book series. Eric, did you like that? Did you hear the violins playing?
I can hear the violins. You know, you said lives, breathes, and dies over Winter's Coming. I was thinking, I hope our show doesn't die anytime soon. But it's not. It's more alive than we promised it would be. So, hey, there you go. Bonus episode on Tuesday. Booyah.
So without further ado, that person who was just speaking was Eric Skull.
And without further ado, I will say adieu to Zach. Louis. Don't let the Briennes of Tarth bite your ears off.
See if it works.com.
Spit them back at you in your face. I bit a man's ear off and I spit it in his face.
She was so happy when she did that.